दंडवत प्रणाम श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। गुरु महाराज की जय। दिस इज श्यामा गौरी देवी दासी फ्रॉम शामलेट।
हरे कृष्ण श्याम गौरी माताजी दंडवत प्रणाम ऑल ग्लोरीज टू शीला प्रभुपाद थैंक यू माताजी फॉर ज्वाइनिंग एवरी डे एंड गिविंग योर असिस्टेंस वेलकम टू द कॉल हैप्पी एकादशी टू एवरीवन हरे कृष्ण इज देयर एनीबॉडी वुड लाइक टू इंट्रोड्यूस देमसेल्फ प्लीज गो अहेड
Hare Krishna Mataji, please accept our humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, this is Sudevi and happy Ekadashi to all the devotees.
Hare Krishna Sudevi, welcome to the call. Happy Ekadashi to you, Nanna. It's beautiful chanting every single day. Is there anybody who would like to introduce themselves?
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. This is Neetu from Baltimore.
Hare Krishna, Neetu Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you, Mataji, for joining every day. Welcome to the call.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, for glories to Srila Prabhupada, Guru Maharajas, and all the assembled Vaishnavas. This is Kirtida Sandridasi. Good to see you.
Hare Krishna Kitida Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Mataji, for joining and all glories to your wonderful services. Welcome to the call. Is there anybody who would like to introduce themselves? Please go ahead. I have a small announcement as we have a kids' camp in the afternoon session. After today's class, we will not close the call. Immediately after Prabhuji finished the class, we can have a Ekadasi glories reading and then we will close the call because we have a kids class at the time that we used to usually read glories of Ekadasi. So we can read it after the class today.
Mataji, can you again send me the flyer? Somebody is asking me in person, like I'm somehow not able to get the flyer.
Sure, Mataji. I
will on send the it. Registration link as well.
Yes. Everything I will send it to you, Mataji. Yeah.
Thank you.
If anybody would like to join these kids classes, we will be sharing the link here in the chat box also. You can check over it. These classes timings will be more suitable for the USA kids, but the India kids always can watch in the YouTube. We have a YouTube playlist. You can go that and visit to the YouTube and watch these classes. These classes are very interesting for kids. Yeah. Is there anybody who would like to introduce themselves?
Hare Krishna Mita Gandhavika Mataji, please come to base and say all very social from Shazia.
Hare Krishna Anita Mataji, Dhanavad Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you, Mataji, for joining every day and giving your sweet association. Welcome to the call. Hare Krishna Balavrinda, welcome to the call. Okay, we will start the recording. Hare Krishna, everyone. Welcome to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today, before we start the class, we'll read Srila Prabhupada quote, 13th June. I can see you. You can see me. Similarly, you can go directly, see God and live with him, dance with him, play with him, eat with him. That is the perfection of life. June 13, 1974, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yeah, very nice quote by Srila Prabhupada. I think Prabhu didn't come. We'll pause. Prabhu is there. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you, Prabhu, for joining and giving your valuable time and association this morning and enlightening us on the topic of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya Kanda, Chapter 1, 255, starting from 255 to 256. Okay, 255. Sorry, 266. 255 to 266 verses. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, over to you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for engaging me in the service. So we'll chant with our invocation prayer. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrindam. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrindam. Okay, fantastic. So maybe Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, communicating that I am he. Okay, so Krishnera Bhajana Kahi Samya Kam Naya Adi Madhya Ante Krishna Bhajana Budhaya. I am explaining to you about the worship of Krishna, which is the purport of the beginning, middle, and end of all Vedic literature. 256. Hearing the Lord's explanation, the students began to laugh. Some remarked, "It appears he is affected by an imbalance of life airs." Shishya Varga Balebe Kemata Vakhanam Prabhu Balena Haya Shastrera Pramanam. The students asked, "From where did you get this explanation?" The Lord replied, "This is the verdict of the scriptures. Prabhu Bale Yedi Nahi Pujaha Etane Dikale Shakala Pujai Babhala Mane." The Lord said, "If you cannot understand now, then I will explain to you in detail this afternoon. Amiha Virale Giya Vashi Punti Jai Dikale Shakala Yena Ai Eka Thani. I will also go sit in a solitary place and look at my books. Let us meet together in the afternoon." Suniya Prabhura Vakya Sarva Sishya Ganam Kautuke Pustaka Bhandi Karila Gamanam. Hearing the Lord's words, all the students packed up their book and left. Sarva Sishya Ganga Dasa Pandite Rastanem Kahilena Sabayata Takura Vakhanem. All the students reported to Gangadas Pandita everything that Nimai had explained to them. Ebeyata Vakanena Nimai Panditam Shabdasane Vakanene Vakanena Krishna Samhita. In every explanation that Nimai Pandita has given recently, he explains Krishna as the meaning of every word. Gaya Haite Yavat Asiyachena Garem Tadavadi Krishna Bhai Yakya Nahi Spure. Since he has returned from Gaya, he does not mention anything other than Krishna in his explanations. Charvada Balena Krishna Pulakita Angam Shane Hasya Hunkara Karaye Bahurangam. He always chants the name of Krishna and the hairs of his body stand on end. Sometimes he laughs or shouts loudly as he manifests different moods. Prati Shabde Dhatu Sutra Ekatra Kariyam Prati Dina Krishna Vyakya Karena Pasiyam. Every day he takes the Dhatu or verbal root of every word and explains Krishna through grammatical rules. Ebetana Ujibhare Na Paricharitam Kikariba Amishaba Balaha Panditam. O Pandita, we are unable to understand his present characteristics. So please tell us what to do. So once again, I seek apology for the confusion. So this is the predicament of the students who were attending Nimai Pandita's grammar class. Before going to Gaya, everybody used to be afraid of Nimai Pandita, as well as they used to appreciate his scholarliness. Nobody could come closer to his Panditya with respect to his control over, his knowledge over different Vedic texts. We have several episodes that we have discussed in Adikanda where Nimai Pandita challenged so many scholars, won over so many scholars,
inspired so many people. So after he came back from Gaya, after his meeting with Ishwara Puri, he got completely intoxicated in Krishna Prem that every activity, everything that he has been doing, he has been connecting it with Krishna. This is not the first time the students have experienced perplexity. In the same chapter, Madhyakanda, a few verses before, also the students were confused. What is that our teacher is speaking? Many a times, we have also got that experience. These experience could be of two types. One is the person who is speaking may be so advanced, so senior that we can't follow what is he trying to communicate. But there is also another possibility that this person could be somewhat bogus or a kanishta, that he will also make a mess out of the whole topic. I hope and pray to Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, and all the Guru Parampara that let me at least not be the one who does such mess. But definitely we can't imitate or try to operate on the platform that self-realized souls operate. But at least we can, with all humility, can be an honest follower and repeat what the self-realized soul has presented. So this situational shift is something very confusing for the students of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, when the student have asked them some other question, in verse number 252, the students are asking, what is the meaning of Siddha Varna Samanaya? I am again not a Sanskrit scholar, but the purport says that phrase Siddha Varna Samanaya is the first sutra of Kalapa grammar. The sequence of reading vowels and consonants is well established since ancient times. In Vedic literature, there is a very interesting aspect that how a word is supposed to be pronounced. So there are six aspects of Vedanga. The first is called Siksha. The second is called Vyakarana. The third is called Nirukti. The fourth is called Chandas. The fifth is called Jyotisha. And sixth is called Kalpa. The six aspects of Vedas, which are called Vedangas, the limbs of Vedas. Siksha is nothing but phonetic signs. Rishis, munis, they are very particular in pronunciation of Vedic mantras. The Vedic mantras are not just some syllable or some words or some line like a prose reading we can do. The way we pronounce the swaras that we associate with each of them has got meaning associated with that. In my childhood days, I went to some Smartha scholars and got to learn some very little portion of Vedas, where we were taught how to even pronounce. Because we were kids, we were told about some methodology. So we were supposed to watch the head of the teacher, Sahasra Sirisha Purushaha. So they keep literally doing up and down like this. So basically, we used to chant with all the, you know, phonetics, with all specific high notes, low notes, straight notes, phonetic signs. It's called Siksha. Sutras are, you know, generally formed very small phrases with very detailed message embedded into this. And Vyakarana is the grammar associated with that. How the sound combined form words, words combined to form compound words, and compound words combined to form phrases, phrases combined to form sentences, sentences combined to form sentence rules. This is Vyakarana. And sound, one is Siksha about phonetic sound, then grammar, then third is Nirukti, the context. The context of the subject matter is explained. And after these three things are done, the fourth aspect is called Chandas, the meter in which we are supposed to do. Just depends upon different meter. We classify different people from different, followers of Vedas. In Brahminical tradition, when we offer our obeisances to elders, we are supposed to present about our lineage. Like suppose, for example, if I offer obeisances to any of our family, Kula Guru or anybody seniors in our family, we'll have to mention Abhivadi, Angirasa, Gargya, Sainya, Triya, Rishega. So we have three rishis in our Gargya, Sainya, Angirasa. Three rishis in our family, lineage. Pravara Anvita, Gargya Gotraha. So we belong to Gargya Gotra. Abhastama Sutraha, which sutra we belong to. It's with Yajur Saga, which sagas we belong to. Then we have to present our name and we say, I offer my obeisances. So it is not that, you know, in Vedic traditions, we are all some bunch of sentimentalists. We are very, very scientific and much, much more advanced and learned than all of us. So anyway, Chandas is metered. The way Rig Veda is pronounced, chanted, is not the same way. Samaveda is chanted, is not the same way. Yajur Veda is chanted. So Chandas defines about how the meter, poetic form of presented. Then Jyotish, then Kalpa. Anyway, I'm not digressing from the topic. The idea is, these are all part of Vedangas. As a student of Sanskrit grammar, these boys were asking Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to explain. Please explain some part of Kalapa Sutra grammar. And Mahaprabhu is completely taking a tangential direction and starting to explain about the Supreme Lord. I'm explaining to you about the worship of Krishna, which is the purport of the beginning, middle and end of all the Vedic literature. Sometimes we may not know the connect, but if we very deeply participate into the conversation and understand the mood of the speaker, we will even able to draw a connect. It is not that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was arbitrarily making some statement. It was the feeling that the students got, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was actually trying to take them to another paradigm. Srila Prabhupada also had given such instructions to his disciples in the early days, where the disciples couldn't even comprehend the question versus answer. They would have asked the question to Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada would give an answer which is absolutely, you know, tangential, which is absolutely in a different context altogether. I remember there was a situation in Radha Ras Bihari temple where the devotees wrote to Srila Prabhupada. I'm telling much earlier days. Srila Prabhupada, we have so much of rat problem in our temple. So what to do? They were all so attached to Prabhupada, so dependent on Prabhupada, so much looking up to Prabhupada, that even for a small trivial problem, they used to sometimes discuss with Prabhupada. They wrote to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, we are facing severe rat issues in our kitchen. So they were trying to ask if we can kill them. Srila Prabhupada replied back saying that chant Hare Krishna, all the rats will go away. Something like that. I may not exactly know the full context, but this is what I remember. The devotees were super confused. What is the relevance between Srila Prabhupada answering for our problem? But if you really analyze this, the reason rats or any rodents or any such situation is there is because of uncleanliness in general. Uncleanliness is because of our unclean consciousness and habit. And by chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, our consciousness will become better. When our consciousness is better, our surroundings are kept clean. Not just clean, they are kept spotless. Naturally, to a clean, spotless place, they are definitely free from such rodents. So Srila Prabhupada's indication was that you may apparently solve the rat problem by killing them now, but how long you go on kill them? Unless you address the root cause of these problems. What is the value of giving some temporary solution? So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when explaining to these boys, the beginning, middle and end is all about glorifying Krishna. Every moment we remember Krishna, and the boys are challenging. Where did you hear this explanation from? So what is this beginning, middle and end? What is the purpose of Vedic literature? Vedaischa sarvai aham eva vedya vedanta krit vedavit eva chaham. If somebody has done a training to become a pilot, at the end of the training, he should be able to take off. If he sits on the aircraft and constantly go round and round in the runway, there is no fun in that. He will be demoted. He will be removed from his position as a pilot. Similarly, after studying all the Vedic literature, if the conclusion is not that Krishna is the Bhagavan Swayam, what is the study of this Vedic literature? In fact, Narada Muni's accusation to Vyasadeva was that He said, you have compiled the entire Vedic literature, divided them, you know, elaborated them. But where are you glorifying the Supreme Lord? So Nimai Pandita, at the time of him responding to the students, there are two reflections that is happening. Number one, I did not direct them correctly in my earlier stint before interval. After interval, after his journey from Gaya, at least I should make sure I should present the real essence of why they are studying these things. In fact, this is the approach Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur have taken, as well as our dearest Prabhupada. What is the approach? Present the summary. Present the goal. Present the right direction. Align your activities towards that. Because in Kali Yuga, we do not have all the time under the roof for us to go through what others we have been doing in the earlier Yugas. In the earlier Yugas, people had elaborate time. And the methodology and the process and the acumen and the understanding, they were absolutely different. They could afford to go through grammatical understanding, elaborate, you know, analytical study of things. Then vad, samvad, they can do debate. You can go on and on and on. But in Kali Yuga, our period of time is very less. There was an analysis given by one Alvar. And the same, similar analysis is given by Prahlad Maharaj. If I can paraphrase this, then Alvar says, Padiyum urangipovar. In your entire life, 50% of your time goes only in sleeping. If I live for 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, whatever number of years, if somebody accrue all the amount of hours that I would have slept, 50% of my life has gone in sleeping, 10% in childhood, 10% in disease, 10% in prajalpa. So the remaining 20%, we are debating what to do and we have so many other challenges, our mind, our senses and so many, you know, Upadrava, so many disturbances. So the strategy all our Vaishnava Acharyas have adopted is, they have not taken us through traditional way of learning Vedic literature. Traditional way of any, you know, studying Vedic literature is to, you know, take us through a very elaborate process, which unfortunately it is not practically possible in today's scenario, both in terms of our acumen as well as in terms of availability of qualified teacher who can take us till the end. So what did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu do? He presented the conclusion. It may be seen amateurish. It may be seen jumping into conclusion too early. But if you look at the entire strategy of last 535 years of how Gaudiya Vaishnava mission had grown, thanks to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who has established the Sankirtan mission, he set up the mission, he presented the most important aspect of this mission, the crux and core of Krishna consciousness, the ultimate, removing all the frill elements, and he presented them and delivered whole bunch of people along with him. But after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, when Muslim invasion came to India, there were some disturbances, but then still the acharyas who took it up to eventually, you know, preach the Sankirtan mission They followed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by not wasting their time. Quote unquote. In some dry speculative studies, rather they focused on the crux and the mellow and the sweetest aspect of studying Vedic literature. If by studying all the Vedic literature, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying here? Please understand, the purpose of all this grammar, humor, all those things is to, at the end, apply them, develop relationship with the Supreme Lord. So all the acharyas, when they showed this urgency of presenting this Krishna Bhakti, they derived different strategies. They defined the goal first. They defined the destination, direction, and aligned and gave and actually removed several frill elements. Assume that for us to study Srimad Bhagavatam, we should have finished 15 Upanishad studying, 75 Purana, whatever, Itihasa, whatever that you have to study, different, chapters you have to study, then only we can come and understand, I'm not this body, spirit, soul. You would not have time, you would not learn. So hence, we need to appreciate the strategy, the direction that our acharyas have taken, considering our weakness. So this is what I would reflect on this current conversation, that where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is trying to help the students gain access to the actual purpose for which they are studying the grammar. Directly, fast forwarding. In marketing, we call as elevator pitch. You are supposed to explain your product or your offering within that much time when you enter the elevator and step out of the elevator. This is called elevator pitch. If somebody can concisely present it, he has understood the product very well and he is considered a pro. So, acharyas, Vaishnava acharyas, especially Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, has time and again proven and demonstrated, and now once again, he himself as Nimai Pandita did dry philosophical arguments. Now, as a transformed Krishna Chaitanya, he is coming and defuting them and saying that, sorry, don't waste your time. Vedeshya Sarvai, Aham Eva Vedyo, Vedanta Krit Vedavit Eva Chahu. And the Lord says, if you cannot understand that now, I'll explain you. So these boys are suspicious and they are going to Gangadas Pandit and saying, something is wrong with this Chaitanya. He's talking Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. You will see how the situation is handled in the future shlokas. But at least it is to be understood as explained in verse number 262. The word samhita means complete, desired, intention, wish or purport. He is trying to rip apart every part of Vedas or grammar and try to connect to the Supreme Lord. This is the nature of a person who is maddened, intoxicated in Krishna consciousness. So what are the lessons that we learned? If you can recollect our conversation during Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, the very last chapter, Atma Ramasya Munayaha, the chapter, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given several explanations. And whilst explaining several explanations at the fag end of the chapter, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is mentioning some very important aspect. The important aspect that he is mentioning is to Sanatana Goswami that, my dear Sanatana, I wish each and every verse in Srimad Bhagavatam be studied in such a scrutinizing manner. I have just presented only one verse. I wish and I recommend the students of Srimad Bhagavatam study Srimad Bhagavatam in a scrutinizing way. That is why a student of Srimad Bhagavatam is not just supposed to be a literal follower of what his guru has asked him to do. He is supposed to emulate, he is supposed to inherit the mood of the acharya, mood of the spiritual master, and try to take it up to the next level so that this Krishna consciousness message could reach to all the masses. I will read a small portion from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writings. This Bhaktivinoda Thakur is writing in a very nice manner. I read it from His Grace Madhavananda Prabhu's notes. He says, the process of bhakti requires both independent thinking and empowerment. Pushing devotees down, trying to control and limit them is a mistake. There is some need in the beginning when new people come and they don't know anything about bhakti. They don't even know basic human behavior. Small children need to be protected, but they also need to grow up and make their own decisions. Bhakti is the most individual realization and activity. Bhakti is the most individual realization and activity. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written, this is from the notes on the Bhagavata, an English article by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, found in the Vaishnava Folio Archives, compiled by Sri Narasingha Chaitanya Mutt. So I'm just reading that portion that Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written. We love to read a book which we never read before. We are anxious to gather whatever information is contained in it. And with such acquirement, our curiosity stops. This mode of study prevails amongst a great number of readers who are great men in their own estimation as well as in the estimation of those who are of their own stamp. In fact, most readers are mere repositories of facts and statements made by other people. But this is not study. The student is to read the facts with a view to create and not with the object of fruitless retention. Students, like satellites, should reflect whatever light they receive from authors and not imprison the facts and thoughts. The thought is progressive. The author's thought must have progress in the reader in the shape of correction or development. He is the best critic who can show the further development of an old thought, but a mere denouncer is the enemy of progress. I've read this, just a couple of days before, and it made absolute sense on how we as a students of Bhaktivedanta purports should treat Bhaktivedanta purports in our own lives. To read the Vedic books. So the current context suits to this particular scenario where the students were trying to hear grammatical explanation. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is very clearly saying it is not to create fruitless retention just by retaining, just by memorizing, just by repeating. We are just becoming a memory bank. The so-called smartas, you know, I hail from one family, with all due respect to my elders, that we have a pride to say that we can chant Vedic mantras flawlessly. Om Namo Bhagavate Rudraya, Namaste Rudra Manyava Udo Daishave Nama, Namaste Astu Dhanvane Bahubhya Mutate Nama. All our so-called family members, they all know this chant very nicely, profoundly, and they all are very good experts. But what do they know the meaning of it? Do they know the context of it? Do they know the purpose of this? Do they know? Unfortunately, especially in Kali Yuga, when the Brahmin community, when the Brahmana community has completely lost the track, barring few here and there, the recommendation is simply chant the holy name of the Lord. The recommendation is understand the mission that is recommended for this Kali Yuga because of the nature of the human beings in this world. So the purpose of studying Vedic literature is just not simply to study the mantra and repeat the mantra, chant and get so-called, you know, pride. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur very nicely explains, he's saying that make sure that the thought must have progress in the reader in the shape of correction or development. Srila Prabhupada says, I encourage my students to write purports to my purport. So the process of bhakti requires both independent thinking and empowerment. That's the bottom line. So the lessons, if at all, you know, want to compile to learn from this current context. Lesson number one, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu being a Supreme Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu being a very good experienced teacher, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who has received the blessings of the self-realized soul, Ishwara Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who has tasted by now the pleasure of the holy name, is actually giving what is apparently called as a tangential explanation, is actually explaining, getting into the root of the verse, getting into the root of the syllable, getting into the root of the, you know, the context, and exploring, presenting Krishna there. Because Vedas are an encapsulated, it's all in Vedas, everything is, you know, embedded. Then to go on peeling off different layers, different frill elements, and somehow able to present Krishna within. That is an ability of a right teacher. So the first reflection, the first lesson in this context that we learn is how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has demonstrated that. So in our learnings, in our Krishna conscious journey, this is what we are supposed to be doing. And Srila Prabhupada did that with our dearest Bhakti Swarup Damodara Swami Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada told Bhakti Swarup Damodara Maharaj, please become a scientist. He wanted to actually join Srila Prabhupada in his Sankirtan mission in terms of being a resident devotee whilst he was pursuing his studies. Prabhupada said, no. You finish your studies. Become a scientist. Speak in the language of the scientist. And defute them and present God is a person. Present life comes from life. So what Srila Prabhupada did, he used the science. He used the platform. He used the context. But somehow gave Krishna. This is Acharya. For an Acharya, you don't need to have a very sophisticated and a very organized arrangement for presenting Krishna consciousness. Even in the most improbable situation, they will be able to bring Krishna consciousness context there. In the most unexpected scenario, they will be able to present Krishna consciousness. They will be able to transform a very uncommon activity or a very unusual scenario to connect to Krishna consciousness. Because the reality is, the science is behind every action, there is a hand of the Lord. So the first reflection is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has done to these students, which they are yet able to understand. They are going and complaining to, you know, Ganga Das, and they are saying that this teacher has gone mad, that, you know, every time he is trying to pick up a verse, he is trying to get into Krishna, maybe something is wrong. The second lesson that I want to bring in here is, for us as the readers, when we are reading anything, our agenda is not to become a scholar. Our agenda is not a formality to have finished certain things so that we can get a power, positions, whatever that is. Our agenda is neither to know the facts and information. Our agenda is to eventually go back home, back to Godhead, and love our Krishna. We are not worshipping Krishna out of fear. We are not worshipping Krishna out of duty. We are not worshipping Krishna out of formality. We are worshipping Krishna because he is our parent. The real gar vapasi, the real agenda of Krishna consciousness is to go back home, back to Godhead. Everybody is saying gar vapasi in different political groups. But our agenda also of worshipping Krishna is gar vapasi, going back home, back to Krishna. So when we are studying Prabhupada books, when we are reading any literature, here at least he is talking about some grammatical thing. I have no idea how somebody could get Krishna consciousness explanation unless Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or some great scholars do it. But at least while studying Bhaktivedanta purports, while studying certain explanations given by our acharyas, our agenda is just not to be an attentive listener, just not limiting to the attentive listener. Rather, we are supposed to be an empathetic one. Along with the content, you also derive the intent. Along with the content, you also try to become the student, understanding the mood of the acharya and try to apply to the current context. If somebody can understand the sutra, the strategy can vary. The methodology can vary. The delivery model can vary. But the mood, the purpose, the destination, the goal is intact. Probably the online platform that we are trying to, utilize for preaching Krishna consciousness, the modern technology that we are utilizing for presenting Krishna consciousness, different media which we are using for presenting Krishna consciousness, you would not see direct references of use, Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn, Zoom and all as a sloka. Probably the generations down will appreciate, wow, this is a contribution. This is what Prabhupada called as utility is the principle. Utilize the platform, utilize the knowledge, utilize the methodology and try to present Krishna consciousness. So the second lesson that we can learn is, don't just be a literal student. They try to be, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur has presented. I somehow loved, even though it may be really some very high-end thinking, but Madhavananda Prabhu very nicely gave a note that for some beginners, they may need some hand-holding. They may need some human touch. They may need some literal learnings. But after a point in time, especially when we are students of Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhava, and also students of Chaitanya Bhagavata, Chaitanya Charitamrita, we need to step up our standard. Not that we are trying to, proclaim something about our panditya or some sort of self-creation. But it is about thinking beyond the boundary. Extending the boundary to the current masses and the future generations. Otherwise, how this knowledge will be spread for the next 10,000 years? Already, the current generation, already the current set of educated graduates, they are understanding, their style of understanding, their reasonings are different from the elderly mass. If I can say this with little limited analysis, the current generation believes much more in logical reasoning, pratyaksha vada. If you don't present them logically, they will simply reject whomever you are. Some of them even question Prabhupada because they find Prabhupada's statements illogical. So there is a challenge that is present amongst all of us, especially those who are 40 plus with gray hairs or whatever number of years of experience in Krishna consciousness. If at all you want to help the younger generation, we need to assimilate the content, the message of our acharyas, and represent them in a manner that this younger generation or the millennials able to appreciate. All they are asking is reasoning. Unfortunately, we are not able to give reasoning, so we are making them keep their mouth shut. Hey, chupkar, bade bola to sun. Just follow what elders are saying. Don't cross question. They are not going to listen to you. They may just keep quiet, but they will never come back to you. But if you give logical reasoning, if you give emphatic, empirical reasoning, if you are able to explain things in a manner by which they could correlate, then they will become Krishna conscious. Appreciate their positive aspects of it, and using their positive, eliminate the negativity within them or within the system. This has been the always strategy of all the acharyas. They always take the current trend, use that trend, take the positive of the trend and whip on the same trend and remove the negativity. Srila Prabhupada went to America, utilized the advancement of Americans, utilized the progressiveness of America, and actually, accused and, eliminated the negativity of, such a culture. At least he, spoke against it. And the last but not least, the third reflection is about what, the students have been complaining, that he always chants the name of Krishna and the hairs of his body stand on end. Sometimes he laughs, shouts loudly, and he manifests different moods. So they have been telling that we are not able to understand these characteristics. I just remember that what Hanumat Prashag Maharaj used to say. He used to say that sometimes we might have to understand that we don't understand. So one time he was giving a class, and at the end of the class, he told me, we were discussing about the class and the content. He says, Ramgiridhari, sometimes we should make people realize that spiritual science is, beyond comprehension. Not that everything that you can understand. If they come to that understanding and try to become humble enough, is also an understanding. That doesn't mean that we give some explanation which is stupid, but the idea of what you are trying to say is that at some point in time, let us learn to appreciate what our acharyas have, given to us. May not be able to relate to their, mood and content today, but stay put. Very soon, you'll be able to understand. I once again repeat the same point that I repeated last week and several other times before. When Srila Prabhupada came to New York, all the boys and girls did not have any clue on Vedic knowledge. Even after coming in contact with Srila Prabhupada, they did not understand what he spoke. They didn't follow his accent. They didn't follow his content. But all he knew, all they knew, was whatever he is doing for our welfare. So they got attached to him. They started to reciprocate to the love that he gave. naturally, they start to appreciate and follow him. So in our Krishna conscious journey, we may not understand certain aspects of Krishna consciousness. Some of the subject matter may go top of our head. But please understand, please try to develop relationship with Vaishnavas. Please try to develop relationship with the spiritual master. Please try to develop relationship with this process. Start loving the process. Start embracing the process. Start applying the process. The process will purify us. Today we may not understand. So unfortunately, the materialistic understanding is, only if I understand, I follow. The modern people, what do? They try to, you know, hear something. If they don't understand, they mock them. They demean them. They show us down. They think these are all mythology. But what Vedic system says, you surrender, follow the process, serve. Pari prashnena sevaya upadekshanti de jnanam jnaninas tatva darshina. So what are they saying? Somehow or other, search for the spiritual master, surrender unto him, do menial service unto him, then when you ask questions to him, you'll get clarified. 7 steps Prabhupada writes in that purport, 4.34. Before the actual knowledge is imparted to the student, which is the 7th step, there are 6 steps that Srila Prabhupada is writing that one has to follow. Right from searching for the spiritual master, surrendering unto him, performing menial services to him, pleasing him, going through the test that he is conducting, passing the test, then ask relevant questions. So there are stages for us to go through. So the third lesson that I want to say here is that somehow or other, if we are able to start to embrace the process, love the process, subscribe to the process will reveal the truth. Don't try to learn the truth by challenge. Probably you will not be able to learn. And hence, what you can't comprehend, you stay put and have utmost Shraddha in this process, because the Acharyas, whoever has given this subject matter to us, they have given to us for our betterment, for our refinement. Today we are conditioned, that's why we are not able to understand. When you are come out of the conditioning, we will be able to easily appreciate and understand these subject matters. Just remind your past. In the early days of Krishna consciousness, would you have thought that you would be speaking Sri Chaitanya Bhagavata? I remember in my new earlier days in Krishna consciousness, when I used to see people giving classes, singing, referring shlokas, I used to wonder, oh my God. But now by Guru and Krishna's mercy, elders' mercy, we are also engaged in similar services. Even though we are far, far, far behind from what we are supposed to do, but at least we have begun the journey. So I'm sure that how much ever unqualified, how much ever unintelligent we may be, the process is very powerful. If we are prudent enough to utilize the resources that have been given to us in a much positive way, we will be able to also comprehend what the students today are not able to understand. They will be able to understand when they empathize, inherit the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I would like to summarize that this current context that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is trying to explain, a tangential explanation for a grammatical in a grammar class. So in Sanskrit grammar, there are several technicalities are there. The students wanted to learn, but somehow Mahaprabhu chose to present Krishna consciousness and try to search Krishna within those pages. So whilst Vedangas talk about different aspects, we can go on and on talk about various technicalities. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chose how the beginning, middle and end Krishna is present, and he literally took the students through that. The students at this point in time couldn't understand, but I guess we as students of Srila Prabhupada are at least able to comprehend at least able to speak about it, that what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did is what is expected of us. So we had three sets of reflections. Number one, how from the pages of Vedic literature, we need to churn out, bring out, learn to glorify Krishna. And we are not supposed to limit ourselves to the literal meaning that is presented ourselves. We are supposed to be independently thoughtful, progressive, and definitely make use of our resources for presenting Krishna consciousness to a larger audience. And the second reflection that we had is how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has somehow somehow demonstrated his love, his attachment to Krishna, him being the Supreme Lord, how he has presented that this science of Krishna consciousness from the past, what he has been doing, he is, you know, converting that to a very very well structured Krishna consciousness subject. He was once a scholar, but now a preacher. So we need to learn to somehow or other utilize different mediums that are available to us, different forums that are available to us to make Krishna consciousness a very impactful one. And last but not least, in the journey of Krishna consciousness, sometimes we may not understand, we may not be able to assimilate certain aspects that are presented, but please stay put into this process. The process is very powerful, will purify us down the line, and we will also be eventually be glowing. Even though we are a rusted iron, just when it comes in contact with a chemical, we will be able to get polished shape, and when it touches the touchstone, we also can become transformed into gold. So our shining, our presenting may not be because of our, you know, intelligence. Our credit has to be given to all our predecessor acharyas, because they are touchstones. We are still just an iron. A touchstone can transform the iron to gold, but the credit is always to the touchstone, but never to the iron. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Chaitanya Bhagavat Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Itai Gaurav Premanande Hari Hari Bol. Hare Krishna. If there are any questions, comments, reflections, I'm happy to respond.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much for the beautiful class and very nice realizations, Prabhuji. Very grateful to you. We open forum for the question and answers. Please go ahead if anybody having any question.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanavad Pranam, Sadhguru Srila Prabhupada. First of all, so sorry for the confusion in the beginning, Prabhu, but the way you handled it and the way you explained on the spot these verses is incredible, Prabhu. Thank you so much. I really like a lot of points in your class. And I'll definitely not summarize the entire class, but the highlight is that we just don't have to read or study the purports of Prabhupada, but we have to see in the right light and try to understand the purpose behind it, and also to imbibe in our own lives. That's really very important, because when I was reflecting on my own self, and while you were saying this, that yes, we don't read it as a newspaper, we do study it, but we forget to understand the purpose behind it, and we forget to imbibe in our own life, which is actually the crux and real importance. So thank you for bringing up that point, and thank you for reminding us time and again about the importance of Krishna consciousness. Really appreciate your classes, Prabhu. All the reflections were awesome, were very, very nice, were apt, were to the point. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam. Sir, glories to Prabhupada, glories to you.
Hare Krishna. This is not the first time that Guru and Gauranga has saved me from embarrassment. Several times, I wouldn't know, what I'm supposed to be speaking. Somehow, whatever little blessings that that we have received. So, I honestly had thought, I did not know how the heck I have missed that. I knew that we have been doing first chapter, but somehow I'm so absent-minded that I went to second chapter. In fact, read today I thought that I will be, you know, a little more prepared, a little more ready, and, you know, made my point notes, made all this. I have no damn idea how did I land up there. So I had completely different sets of reflection that I'm supposed to have been speaking.
Mm.
But then, thanks to you both, you and Vinita Gandharvika Mataji, that you brought Khan Pakadke.
Because, you know, yesterday also somehow the same mistake happened. I don't know what it, I won't say it a mistake. Maybe it's Krishna's plan. That's what Krishna wants. But yesterday Prabhu came for the first time. So we thought not to interrupt him. So we were not able to feel connected also. But yeah, what he spoke was definitely nice. So we thought of telling you if you can take up the correct verses so that we can go on the pace.
So I didn't have no idea what I was reading when I was reading. I was already sweating and thinking, Krishna, what am I going to do? I hope, you know, I don't bring in a bad name to the service that has been given to me. So if at all any, you know, any useful thing that came out of this, all full credit goes to our predecessors and all the seniors. And I have absolutely, you know, I have no rights to take 1% credit also. But I take full credit for the group of Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu, for sharing your realization about preparing the notes and everything. See, we have planned about ourselves, but Krishna has planned something else. It is like, I know, I think those verses are very nice also. When you are reading, it was so nice. We could have heard those explanations also. Maybe next time, whenever those verses will be scheduled, will be given to you only, Prabhu. So then you can do it again for us.
Maybe Krishna did not want me to read those, give explanation to those verses, because we were so intense. Even for preparing that, I was, you know, sweating out, because Chaitanya Bhagavat, you know, one of the points that I was going to mention is Chaitanya Bhagavat is not a regular study. It's Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavata, they are not just a casual regular study. They are not meant for, you know, beginners. They are not meant for, you know, just, they are very serious, intense business for developing our, extending our love and attachment towards this process and becoming real Gaudiya. In fact, the last 15 days, at least I must have come across 4 or 5 instances where people were challenging Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and ISKCON's Sankirtan mission. You know, I came across some, you know, recording, some words, some people, because several people are talking about Sankirtan, but nobody is talking about Rupa Sanatana and Gaudiya Vaishnava, you know, Siddhanta Paddhati, Veshla Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Maharaj, Bhakti Vinod Thakur presented. So it is imperative, it is extremely important for us as students of Srila Prabhupada to go out of the way, to go and make everyone learn the real Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur has predicted a day will come, the whole world will learn this. But his prediction has to come through whom? To somebody. Why not we be the somebody? So I was a bit contemplating that these subject matters are really high and they are untouched by definitely so-called men who are thinking Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a scholar, a historical personality, and various other things. Then this verse came, Chaitanya was, I am the he, I am he, I am he. Then I thought maybe, you know, I'm supposed to speak around that. I made my notes, but Krishna took me completely off the, you know, hook and said that, okay, endure more, prepare more, and you know, work on it more. Of course, what he spoke today, you know, for sure it is relevant to the context, but I'm not sure if I did justice to that, the context entirely. But what I could say was what I could, you know, speak based on my little, you know, past experience.
Thank you, Prabhu. Very grateful to you, Prabhu. Always, your classes are amazing. Thank you. We have one raised hand, Prabhu. Parima Mataji, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you once again for your wonderful class. Again, it's very practical, all your classes, Prabhuji. So I am grateful to you. Prabhuji, I have this one question. How would you introduce, I have a friend, actually, let me put it. She has been very close to me, but then after many years, I met her again in the US. I knew her back in India, but now again, I met her in the US. she is like, she has all the good qualities, and I mean, I can see the potential of her becoming Krishna conscious. For example, even though she is not into Krishna consciousness, she believes in offering food. And she cook without onion, garlic and all that she does. But Prabhuji, how do I introduce her to Krishna consciousness? I did give her the whole set of Srila Prabhupada's books. I told her about ISKCON, and then I said what the wonderful work that ISKCON has done and how these things and this literature has impacted my life. In brief, I didn't preach to her. But then how do I, you know, kind of bring her closer to Krishna consciousness?
The most standard way, it may vary from person to person. So what I'm just telling is general principle. The most standard way I have seen people taking up Krishna consciousness is when they are asked, especially with Indians, especially if they are cultured and they are raised in a very decent sattvic family, they are generally God conscious. So asking them to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is generally the most easiest entry point. Because what happens is that when anyone chants Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, then the process begins. So whether they are subscribed to ISKCON, not ISKCON, you know, all those things are later. Just by making them chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, you are trying to make them at least enter into a very important phase in life of self-purification. They will be able to present. So, if you are able to present Krishna conscious philosophy logically, systematically, this is all going to be time consuming. That is the second stage. But the very easiest first stage is, why don't you spend 10 minutes of every day and chant this mantra? You don't need to give up anything else. You don't need to, in fact, all the time our strategy has been not to say what to give up. Our strategy is how to add Krishna. Give up, they will come and tell you what to give up. Oh, I don't feel like this. I don't feel like this. The process is powerful. So help them to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra if they can. If they can't, or for some reason they have apprehensions to, you know, get into such sort of quote-unquote sentimentalism, then Prabhupada books does his own wonders. But if you ask me, and Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur has given a very interesting recommendation. I will read the Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Maharaj recommendation. In the last class, I read it. Once again, I'll read it. It's a very important, not just recommendation. It is Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Maharaj's perspective about how to cultivate someone in Krishna consciousness. This is from Amrita Vani, 18.14, from published in Krishna Kathamrita Bindu, issue 387. All I'm reading is what Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Maharaj says. One who gives personal instruction to each and everyone does more for others than the platform speakers do. Generally, what platform speakers say cannot solve the problems of everyone in the audience, nor can it always benefit every individual. A person's defects are better rectified in a private tutorial class or private coaching than in hearing lectures in a school or college. Therefore, those who instruct particular persons separately can award them something more permanent. The message here is not to get them for any Bhagavatam classes or classes. The message here is, how personal are you? Your personal character, your personal conduct, your personal dealings, along with that person's endeavor to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, this combined will make the preaching a very good, formidable combination for them to get transformed in Krishna consciousness. Any sense?
Yes, Prabhu. But I still have one more question. Prabhuji, if at all I have to, you know, time to... first question she might ask is, why do I chant just this Hare Krishna Mantra? Then
conceivable power, which makes the impossible possible, please fulfill the desires of my heart. Hey Sanatana, because your lotus feet are filled with such wonderful rasa, let the bee of my mind always reside unwaveringly in that nectar, which puts everything else to shame. For They are the essence of all sweetness. This is my only prayer. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Rupa Goswami ki jai. Nitai Gaura Premanande. Hare Hare. Okay.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for a wonderful song. Very nice meaning. The song has very nice meaning.
Very nice.
So if there are no more questions, we can close the call here. But after we give our obeisances to Prabhuji, we are not closing the call because we are reading Srila Ekadasi's glories. And then we will close the call because today afternoon we have children camp. We can't read at that time. So we are reading after the class. I would like to offer my obeisances to Prabhuji and all the Vaishnavas assembled on the call. Vantra Kalpata Rubhya Shri Kripa Sindhu Bhya Vachya Patita Nanta Koti Vaishnavindi Ki Jai Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai Shri Salam Girdari Prabhuji Ki Jai
Prabhuji Ki Jai. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Such an amazing class. Beautiful.
We will stop here recording and we will start the new life. Thank you everyone for staying back. Just give me a minute.
Not everybody staying back. There's only
wait for them.